World's on fire. Our culture is disintegrating.
Hey, pass the salt.
It's time. Hey, you, pass the salt.
You know what, why it's disintegrating? Because we're jellyfish.
Pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed in this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a Coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
Hey, good morning. It's the 17th day of December. How can that be? 2025. Thanks for joining us here. We're going to get a little bit of a heat wave here the next couple of days. We had a lot of snow and all that kind of stuff, and going to warm up. It's going to melt down. Kind of December in Ohio, kind of the way it is. Hey, look, I really got something. Lord, really, this, it sounds so religious. Say, the Lord laid something on my heart. He really did. I get up early, get up about 5:30 and do a lot of research, praying. I don't want you to think I lock myself in my prayer closet. I hear people say that, but most people don't really do that. We don't really lock ourselves in our prayer closet. And I just kind of pray as I go. Anybody know what I'm talking about? As I'm going through it, the Bible says we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but principalities and powers. It says, take captive every thought. Exalt itself against the knowledge of God, bringing the captivity of obedience to Christ. And we have to understand the couple things that are going on. Number one, the Holy Spirit speaks to you through thoughts. And the enemy speaks to you through thoughts. One of the problems that we have in the world is we don't know which voice, we can't distinguish the voices. We don't know. I don't want to get into the whole Rob Reiner thing, but his son was clearly hearing from the demonic realm. Had to be hearing from the demonic realm, right? But we don't believe so much in the demonic realm, we certainly don't teach much about it in the demonic realm in our churches, and we don't teach how to combat it in our churches. And so as a result, there's a spiritual war that's going on around us, and the average guy, gal going to church, they love God, they want to go to heaven, they want to have a good life, but they ain't got no clue to what's going on around them. No clue. So I want to try to dive into some of those things here today, just to make it, not that I'm an expert, I can read. And I read and I think, say, daggone, we need to know that. We need to know that. And let me jump off here and pull up number two. This is pretty amazing. Now, this is only a minute and 2 seconds. Look, are you guys looking at me or listening to me? Look, before you play that, we're in a spiritual war. I'm going to say it again. We're in a spiritual war. If you read anything at all about the scripture, if you understand anything at all, there's two teams. Team Lucifer and Team Jesus. There's two teams. Now, Jesus is all powerful. He's the Super Bowl champion. But Team Lucifer is trying to unseat him. Now, they know they can't unseat him. They know that. But they know they sure as heck can distract the team so the team isn't effective. And the job of the team is to expand the kingdom of God. Can you guys say the Lord's Prayer? Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth. That's what we're supposed to be doing. And what is the job of the adversary? His job is to thwart the efforts of God's team. It's a cosmic fight, but it's an individual fight. Every one of us wrestle not. We don't wrestle against flesh and blood. We don't understand the spiritual. Okay, Spencer. I'm sorry, is it Johnny? I keep calling you Spencer. I know it's you, Johnny. So, John, before you play that, pull up number seven. Pull up number seven. Hey, folks. That's it. The little boy is in the natural realm, and the fish is in the aquarium realm. And the little boy sees the fish, but the little fish doesn't see the little boy. He looks like it. It looks like the fish sees the little boy, but he doesn't see it. And why doesn't he see it? Because he's in a different realm. And so we're in a different realm here. The Bible says, seeing that we are encompassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses. Boy, I wish I'd have found a picture on that. But we are sitting, go back to that picture, John. Hey, folks, we're the fish. We're the fish. The Holy Spirit, the Lord, the angels, and the demons, they're the little boy. They're looking in at us. We don't even understand. We don't even know they're looking in at us. And as soon as we can come to the realization, as soon as the body of Christ can come to the realization that little boy, I'm going to reverse it here on you, okay? The little boy's a demon and the fish are us. We would understand that the demonic realm is trying to influence inside this fish tank that we're in. And we don't understand it. And because we don't understand what's going on, we don't know how to combat it. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God. What are our weapons? We don't know. Snow globe. Yeah, Beth, a snow globe. We're compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses. There's war going on in the spirit realm. Rob Reiner's son was clearly demonically oppressed and possessed. Now look, those are not the same. I'm sorry, let me go here a second. Johnny, go to Webster's and look up. If you don't get these, if you don't understand this, look up oppressed. Oppressed. What's that mean, John? Burdened with unreasonable impositions, overpowered, overburdened, depressed. How many of you out there right now would admit that you are demonically oppressed? Or can we say spiritually oppressed? I'm spiritually overpowered, overburdened, and depressed. Yes or no, when you get up in the morning, are you constantly thinking about the bad things going on in your life? Somebody give me a thumb. Your children, your husband, your car, your house, your payments, whatever. Constantly bombarded with oppression. Oppression. Most of us are dealing with strong, strong spiritual oppression. That is not the same as possession. Johnny, pull that up here. I'm a pretty good teacher, aren't I? You ever hear this stuff in church? Wouldn't you think this would be Christianity 101? Possession. Possessed. Most of you are oppressed, not possessed. Okay? Rob Reiner's son, I would say this, became possessed to the point that every thought he thought wasn't even his thought anymore. It's a spiritual aspect. Stay with me. So possession is the having, holding, or detention of property in one's power or command. So if you are possessed, somebody else is controlling you. Those are not the same. Most of us are demonically oppressed, not possessed. But you're miserable because the oppression is real. And you get up in the morning, and come on now, you don't think about the goodness of God. You do. But how many of you pray defensive prayers? Oh, Lord, protect me. Oh, Lord, protect my son. Oh, cover. Oh, cover. So we have this understanding that something evil's after us, but we have no offense in it. What are we supposed to do about it? What are we supposed to do? Excuse me. I'm thinking here a second. I got a lot of good stuff here. There's a spiritual realm, folks. Pull that aquarium picture back up there. And Mark, I'm going to try to get you in here maybe tomorrow, talk about that, what you sent me. Well, we may get to it today, but maybe not. So if we would understand this, that those little fish are oppressing that little kid, your thoughts, spiritual stuff. See, we're in an aquarium. We're in a natural realm. There is a realm outside. That's what I'm trying to show you. That both the fish and the little boy see the water. But the fish see it differently. Tracking with me? So here's what I want. A couple things. Golly, this is, I need a month here. Pull up number, pull up number two real quickly. No, go ahead and put, yeah, okay, that's what I wanted. I want you to think about this now, folks. I'm going to tell you this. But whatever is going on in America that's good, and there are some good things going on in America, the enemy is after it. The enemy is out to destroy. That is good. See, the devil can't control you. He can only convince you. He can only distract you. He can only lie to you. Remember this, he's the father of lies. And I have a discussion often with my own wife, say, honey, why are you worrying about that? Stop worrying about it. Or she'll say to me, stop worrying about it. Well, it's easier said than done, isn't it? Easier said than done. So the enemy cannot always impact your daily walk, but he can sure screw it up. Your thoughts. Conversations you have. How many times do you run into that, talk to somebody, and they speak damnation right into your, huh? How many times do you have a phone call with somebody and say, you know, hey, listen, I got a cold or I got the flu, whatever, and boy, I took some of that ivermectin, and boy, and then they come back and say, oh, you better be careful. I know somebody took that ivermectin, and there they go. They plant those negative thoughts into you, right? Right? And the Bible says take captive every thought. Why? Every thought that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. And so you say, hey, Lord, was that you? That thought, was that you, Lord? Because I'm supposed to take captive that thought. Devil, you're a liar. That is not true. Huh? That is not true. And we don't understand. So understand that we are seeing, say what you want to about Islam. I'm kind of rambling, but I'm going to get somewhere. All those who hate me, what do they love? All those who hate me, what do they love? Come on. All those who hate me love death.
Boom.
If we could just settle on that and understand that Christ is about life and life more abundantly, and the devil's about death. The devil worships death. Christ worships life. So is Islam real? Go ahead and play this.
So I actually couldn't believe this stat was real until I looked it up myself, but there's been over 65,000 Islamist terror attacks since 9/11. 65,000 spread over 70 countries. And we're not supposed to draw any conclusions from this, right? They're just coincidences. 65,000 coincidences. And just in case you think I'm cherry-picking data, which would be a natural conclusion, you might ask, what about the other religions? So let's look at them. If you take the world's other four major religions, Christianity, Hinduism, Judaism, and Buddhism, those four religions combined account for roughly 2% of all religiously motivated terror attacks. Islam is responsible for the other 98%. And by the way, no one is more knowledgeable about this fact than the Muslim leaders themselves, who have been very successful imprisoning, eliminating, and sending away all of their true believers into the arms of white liberals in the West, who are just so eager to bring them in.
Okay, so there we are, right? When's the last, I asked this to somebody the other day, and they couldn't give me an answer. When was the last mass killing event done by a right-wing Christian? Can anybody tell me? Anybody tell me when that was? Does anybody remember a mass killing by a Christian? No. Why? Because that's not Christian. It's not Christian. Yet who is the media trying to make out as the bad guys? The Christians, right? Come on now, make the connection here, right? We wrestle not against flesh and blood, principalities and powers, all that stuff. So got to understand. Okay, so I'm trying to make 2 points here today. Point number four. And we've done this before, but I think it's important for us to understand, friends. Hang on a minute. Who's going to be brave out there and going to say the Lord's Prayer for me, okay? By the way, this is the prayer that Jesus taught his disciples to pray. Now, Jesus is teaching the disciples to pray, and he teaches them the Lord's Prayer. And I want to ask yourself this. I want you to ask yourself, or I'll ask you this. When Jesus taught the disciples to pray, did he teach them to tell God all about their problems? Oh, Lord, you know that, golly, you know what's going on with Billy, and you know what's going on with Susie, and Lord, I'm afraid they're going to get a divorce, and Lord, I just don't know what to do. Lord, just be with them and bless them in Jesus' name. Right? Is that it? Because the believer in Christ is supposed to pray with authority. We're supposed to pray with authority. Authority. We're in charge. Well, we're not in charge, but we're ambassadors. We're from a different... Oh, Lord, I need more time. Some of you never heard anything like this. And I didn't come up with it on my own. I studied to show myself approved. So I want to ask you this right now. This is kind of important. Who did I say? Somebody going to say the prayer for me? Did I say that? Who's going to say it? Somebody come on in and say the Lord's Prayer for me.
I'll do it, Coach.
Get her. Kimberly, let Kimberly do it. Come on in, Kimberly. Come on okay. And say the Lord. Now listen, don't just say it, because in my Catholicism, I'm not, if you're Catholic, God bless you, they taught me to pray the rosary, right? One Our Father, 10 Hail Marys, another Our Father, right? Wrote words. Because, so what's the Lord's Prayer? Go ahead and do that.
I think it's a model, isn't it, Coach?
Well, I think it's a model. I think it's a model. Pray, just pray it real slowly, and let's think about the Lord's Prayer as we pray. Go ahead, Kimberly.
Our Father.
Oh, my goodness. Wait a minute. Stop right there. Our Father?
He is.
What? So how many of you have a dad that's mean to you? Well, some of them are, I guess, but our Father.
Mine was.
Huh? Okay. By the way, that really poisons the way you see God. Did you know that, folks?
Oh, yes.
If you had a bad dad, the idea of him being your heavenly father, that ain't a good thing. That ain't a good thing. So if you had a bad daddy, then you think God is just going to sit up there just to swat you? Huh? Come on now. Come on.
It took me till I was 38 years old to come to God.
Huh? How about
because
that?
Because of my dad. Yep.
So let's go again. I'll try to behave here. Our Father.
Okay. Our Father who art in heaven.
Stop! What? Who are in heaven? Where's heaven? Huh? Oh, that's where I go when I die. Oh, I get it. No. No. Sorry. Go ahead.
Howard.
Start again, okay. And I promise I'll try not to interrupt. Go ahead.
Coach, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come.
Whoa!
Yep.
I thought we're going to heaven. We're going to heaven. I came to come? Where, Kimberly? Where?
I think it's already in our hearts.
Well, don't get ahead of me. Just be a good girl and read the prayer.
Thy kingdom come, thy will be done.
Where?
On earth as it is in heaven.
So in other words, God's will was that Rob Reiner would get killed by his son. That's God's will? That's God's will?
Or the U.S. government's.
Our Father in heaven, hallowed be thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth.
As it is in heaven.
So earth is supposed to be a reflection of the authority of heaven. Go ahead.
Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil.
What? Do what?
deliver us from evil.
Yeah. Go ahead.
For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever.
Amen. Amen. That is nothing more than an acknowledgement of who he is. Do you understand that? Our Father, art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses. We forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, power, and the glory forever. It is nothing more than an acknowledgement of the power and sovereignty of Almighty God. That's all the Lord's Prayer is. That's all it is. But see, there's something in there that's really, really confusing to us. Go ahead, Lorianne. Don't be too long, or don't you break my flow. Go ahead.
No, this is in your flow. There's a couple points about that prayer. It's the sinner's prayer. And what name did Jesus say that was hallowed? Father. That name is holy. Who is, give us our daily bread. Who's our bread?
Jesus. So I talked to somebody the other day, Lorianne. I'm getting a little distraction here. I just lost just my thought. We're talking about daily. Let me move on. I got you, Lorianne. Let me finish up here. Let me finish up. What's the difference between the kingdom of God and the kingdom of heaven? You know they're interchangeably sometimes, but you know they're not the same. Thy kingdom come. Folks, that ain't a realm. Thy kingdom is coming. No, we're not going to his kingdom. His kingdom is coming. And what is this kingdom? Today we talk about the kingdom of God versus kingdom of heaven. Many Christians do not know what this means. The term often used interchangeably leads to confusion. We take the time to meditate on God's word and explore what the two kingdoms represent in Scripture. The kingdom of God is an essential concept in the teaching of Jesus and forms a central theme in the gospel. In Hebrew, kingdom translates to mamlaka, meaning a realm of sovereignty or a kingdom ruled by a king. So when you say, thy kingdom come, you're praying, Lord, let your rules and regulations and authority come into me. Let it come into me. That I'm going to be ruled and reigned by your kingdom, and everywhere I go, I'm going to help establish your kingdom on earth as it is in heaven. That's the essential thing. God gave all authority to you and to me, and he says, go expand my kingdom. But see, we think the kingdom is heaven. We think it's a place where we're gone when he said, thy kingdom come. What? We are ambassadors into a foreign country called earth, where we battle against demonic forces for control of the earth, and we are ambassadors of a foreign kingdom. In fact, somebody help me out here. I think the demons got kicked out of heaven, didn't they? Didn't they get kicked out of heaven? And they call Satan the prince of the power of the air because he don't have no kingdom. You don't have no kingdom. And his job is to steal your authority and Christ's authority. Your kingdom, Christ's kingdom in you is what he wants to steal. The kingdom of God, the Bible says, is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. Does anybody know where that is real quickly? Come on now. Words mean things. The kingdom of God is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. And by the way, that's what's supposed to come.
Romans 14:17.
Thank you, Randy. Romans 14:17. Johnny, you're doing pretty good as a sub here. Huh? There it is. For the kingdom of God is not meat and drink and rule following and no. But it's righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. And so when you say the Lord's Prayer, thy kingdom come, you should be saying, Lord, righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. Come inside me, and then I'm going to take that, and I'm going to spread it everywhere, because your kingdom's come. Your kingdom, it's already come. It's already come. It's within you, it says in, is that Corinthians? Where does it say that? The kingdom of God is within you. And when the kingdom of God comes within you, then you have the power to rule over demonic forces, principalities that are trying to steal the kingdom of God, righteousness, peace, and joy, and Holy Ghost, trying to steal that from you. That's why he said, take captive every thought. Stop that stinking thinking. Because all the devil's trying to do is pull you out of the kingdom. He's just trying to get you out of the kingdom. See, it ain't heaven. It's not heaven. Thy kingdom come. Hey, Johnny, I'm not making that up. Didn't the Bible actually say that? Thy kingdom come. And we spend all of our time thinking about going to heaven. It's a different place, different thing. And when he was demanded of the Pharisees when the kingdom of God should come, he answered them and said, the kingdom of God, you can't see it. He said, Jesus said, you can't see it. Neither shall they say, well, over there it is, and over there it is, and over there, behold, the kingdom of God is within you. Benny, give me a boom. I want to make sure somebody's picking up what I'm telling you here. Because most of modern Christianity don't even understand what I'm talking about right here. All power given unto me, both in heaven and earth. Go ye therefore. And do what? Teach them to observe all I've commanded you. And lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age. Not the end of the world. End of the age. Instead, we don't even understand that the kingdom of God's within us. We don't even understand that. We go to church and we don't understand that we have the power and the authority of Almighty God. His kingdom has come. It's within me. Then he said, boom. Boom. I'm willing to bet right now, I don't know how many lists, it doesn't matter. Many of you have never heard this. I've never, ever heard anything like this. Right? See, we have kingdom authority here and now. Here and now. Kingdom authority. And flipping back over to Rob Reiner, he was an atheist. He was an atheist. What kingdom do you think ruled and reigned in his family? In his lineage? Oh, all those who hate me love death. Let me ask the question again. I don't know if I ask it now. If I did, I'm going to repeat it. So can somebody please tell me the last mass killing done by a Christian? Why? Because we love life. The devil loves death. And so you have to be really, really careful. We all have to be very, very careful. Because pull that picture of the aquarium up. Pull up the picture of the aquarium again for me if you could. Baby, you better learn to take captive every thought. Because there's, hey, the siree. There's a devil looking at you. That little kid's the devil. And the fish is you. And that devil and those demons and those angels, they're watching you in what we call the spiritual realm. More real than we can even understand. And see, we are locked inside the aquarium. When people say God sees everything you do, well, there's why. There's why. He's outside this realm. He's outside this realm. And he sees us, but we can't see him. Why? He's in a different realm. So when we talk about the kingdom coming, we're talking about the ruling, the reigning of Christ in this natural realm. He said, go into all the world and teach them to observe all I've commanded you. And lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age. He's saying, teach them kingdom principles. Teach them kingdom principles. that Christ rules and reigns in your heart. And because he rules and reigns in your heart, he's going to rule and reign in your children's heart. But not if you send them to government schools where they teach them there isn't a God. And then, right? And so we look around at what's going on, what's happening in our family. Hell, it's our fault. It's our fault. We didn't train up the children in the way they should go. We sent them to government schools. We sent them to secular colleges because we wanted them to make sure they made a lot of money and got rich. No, seek first the kingdom. Go after, put them in college where they're going to teach them the kingdom. Not the worldly system. But Christians don't understand that we're supposed to be taking over this worldly system. And they say this word like they don't even think about it. Well, we're not of this world. Damn it, we're in it. And we're in it to do what? To expand his kingdom, righteousness, peace, and joy, and the Holy Ghost. That's the kingdom of God. That's the gospel. Instead, we've taught everybody, instead, we're teaching everybody how much God just can't wait to bless them. He's just sitting up there on his chair just wanting to bless them. Dudes, you're in a freaking war. You're in a war. If you don't understand it, if you don't understand that the people who are ruling and reigning over us are not, oh my goodness, they are not filled with the Holy Spirit of God.
Amen.
And that's why they're so easily deceived. That's why we can't even, in this American government, with all the science that we have, we can't stop the killing of unborn children. Are you kidding me? We can't stop that? Of course we can. Of course we can. But not if the pastors and the Christians don't understand thy kingdom come. We're supposed to be in control of all of this. Instead, they teach us we're going to be evacuated to heaven. It's come. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done. What? The kingdom means the ruling lordship, kingship of Christ on earth. It's in the individual believer. It's already come. It's already come. It's already come. But we're being taught in our churches, in Christianity, that there really isn't anything to just be, stay healthy, wealthy, and wise. Poor Richard's almanac, just stay healthy, wealthy, and wise, and someday we'll be out of this. No. We're supposed to be on a mission. We're ambassadors to what? Go to all the world and teach them to observe all I've commanded you. Oh, by the way, you're going to be hated of all men. That's all right there in Matthew. It's all right there in Matthew. We're in a war against demonic forces. There are two teams. And the devil's doing everything he can to influence our team, and we don't even get it. It's a thought. Devil can't touch you. Point number five, real quick. I'm going to shut up here in a minute. We need this. Hey, look. I ain't been to theology school. I ain't been to no cemetery. The Bible describes the spiritual realm as an unseen reality that coexists with the physical realm. What? An unseen reality that coexists with, inhabited by spiritual beings, such as angels and demons. And no, when you die, you don't become an angel. Oh my goodness. Grandma's watching over us. Oh, that's Grant. Oh, geezy peasy. Where do you find that? So the existence, by the way, and emphasizes the importance of spiritual warfare and faith. Faith is believing what you cannot see. Faith is substance. Faith is a substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And so our faith is in, they're teaching us that we're going to go to heaven rather than the kingdom's already come here. It's already here. It's within me. Oh my goodness. Existence of the spiritual realm. The Bible teaches that there's a spiritual realm that's not visible to the human eye, but is just as real as this physical world. This realm includes both good and evil entities, such as God, angels, demons. For instance, in Ephesians, it says, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, against principalities, rulers, authorities, cosmic powers over this present darkness, spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realm. The heavenly realm! There's a war going on! Battle around for your mind! Take captive every thought! So what's the role of angels? Angels are depicted as God's messengers and servants. Messengers, actively involved in the lives of believers. Hebrews 1 mentions, are they not all ministering spirits sent out to serve for the sake of those who are here, who are to inherit salvation? They're ministering angels? Oh, no, no, they're not medics. They don't go around with wrapping up your wounds. They're ministering angels, dudes. They bring ammunition. Conversely, demons are often described as fallen angels who rebelled against God, as seen in passages and there. Huh? What? Well, so in other words, the demons are on the other team. And they're fighting like hell, pardon me, to control God's earth. So the concept of spiritual warfare, did I read that? No. Is prevalent in the Bible, emphasizes the need for believers to be vigilant and equipped in their faith. 2 Corinthians says, for though we walk in the flesh, we not about war according to the flesh. No, we war spiritually. We're a spirit being. And some of us say that will say, Coach, see, that's natural. We're not supposed to deal in the natural realm, Coach. We're spiritual beings. We'll turn all politics and everything, because we're not going to mix religion and politics. Dumbass. Pardon me. But though we walk not in the flesh, we don't war according to the flesh, for the weapons of our world are not physical. The weapons of our warfare are not physical. But they are mighty. Through God, to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations, and every high and lofty thing exalts itself against the knowledge of God and bringing into captivity the obedience of Christ. And let me tell you this, every sin you commit begins with a thought. Every daggone one. That's why he said, take captive every thought. Now, some of it's not always the devil. Sometimes it's just your carnal nature. That's the first thing you have to learn to control. Uh-oh. Do I have to say that, Lord? All right. If you want to look, I'll say it, Lord. If you want to see how much control you got over your carnal nature, look at your belly hanging over your belt. So the concept of spiritual warfare is prevalent in the Bible. I said that. So the impact on your daily life, the spiritual realm significantly influences the physical. What? The spiritual realm significantly influences the physical world. Oh, and the lives of individuals. What does the spiritual realm, that invisible realm we can't see? Understanding this connection encourages believers to remain steadfast in their faith and to recognize the unseen forces that work around them. Ephesians says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who's blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. Not heaven, heaven! Oh my goodness. The heavens, the spiritual realm. In summary, the Bible does a rich understanding of the spiritual realm, emphasizing his reality, the roles of angels and demons, necessity of spiritual warfare, impact of his realm on believers. Engaging with these teachings can deepen one's faith and awareness of the spiritual dynamics that play in the world. That's why we shouldn't be shocked that when we went to Minnesota and we staked Minnesota, that now all of that corruption is being exposed. We shouldn't be surprised. We should be surprised. Why? Because we have all authorities given unto me, and I give it unto you, the Lord said. And so we exposed all that. And we went to St. Louis, and we staked, and we salted the Mississippi River. We went to those high places, and we pulled them down. And we shouldn't be shocked that we're seeing something happen as a result of it. Why? Because we're his ambassadors. We're supposed to be on the offensive, not on the defensive. How many of you pray offensive prayer? Or going on the offense prayers? Or do you pray defense? Oh, Lord, please keep the devil away from me. Oh, it's the mindset. It's a spiritual mind. Oh, I've taken 39 minutes. I'm just getting on. And I want to tip my cap to Craig Mickle and to Randy, to Dave Allison and Jeff. I could run down a whole litany of people who are now, for the first time, awakened and bringing the kingdom of God, the power and authority of God, into their local situations and saying, no more, Leroy. No more, Leroy. Christ is king. And you go to church and they teach you just individual. Christ just, you got the guardian angel and, you know, he watching up. No. We're supposed to be casting down imaginations and every high and lofty thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God and bringing it into captivity to the obedience of Christ. If you start doing that, you'll lose friends faster than a rotten burger at McDonald's. Because they've been taught to be passive, to sit back, just hang in there, because we're all going to go to. I'm going to do some more of this tomorrow, just giving you a heads up, to get into what is the kingdom, what it really is, heaven and earth, thy kingdom come, thy will be done, what it all is. I can't pack it all in here today, so I'm going to shut up and I'm going to open it up. I'll bet you 70% of you ain't never heard anything like you just heard. Go ahead, Adam.
Hey, Coach. Thank you. Good morning, everyone. Coach, I think it's because Christians have become so comfortable in their lives that they think Christianity is something that they get into so that God will do something for them instead of realizing that we are supposed to serve him.
It's a place to hide, Adam. Christianity is a place to hide.
Yeah. Yep. So we become lazy, Coach. We become fat and lazy spiritually.
Wait a minute, Adam. We become fat and lazy because that's what they've trained us to do. Does anybody know the Great Commission? Can anybody come in here right now and quote the Great Commission to me? Which, by the way, is right out of Matthew, and I think I just said it. The Great Commission. Hang on a second. Hang on. Johnny, look up commission. 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 Military commission. 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 The act of doing or performing or perpetrate, the act of committing or sending, the thing committed, entrusted, or delivered, charged, ordered, mandated, authority given. You have a commission. When a police officer shows up and knocks on the door, says, open the door, they have a commission. We have a commission to storm the gates of hell. That's our commission. That's what we're supposed to do. Now, see, we want people to go to heaven when he wants heaven established within us here on earth. Come on in, James.
I kind of think that the Western Christianity is not a part of the kingdom of God at all.
James, we've lost the focus. Hey, folks, Christ ain't king over America.
We live in a constitutional republic, which grants us our liberties. That it is so different than having a king and a kingdom. There are
James, listen, folks. We have to go back to organic law. We have to go. Where does all law come from?
So, you know, as you said, we are ambassadors to this kingdom. So, and we kind of look at it. The priesthood of Melchizedek in regards to all, I'm not going to get into that, but it's just, it's where we are as the kingdom of God. And here on this earth, you know, Jesus is the King of Kings, right? Yeah, so Revelation 1:6, and he says, and hath made us kings and priests unto God the Most High, or Abba. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. And then Revelation 5:10, and hath made us unto us our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on earth. So when we bring our needs, we have to do it. There's a principle in this kingdom.
If Christ is king over America, would anybody disagree with me that the aborting of unborn children is treason to Christianity?
But he is not king over this nation. That
he's supposed to be. He's supposed to be.
Yeah, but it doesn't matter. He's supposed to be a lot, but he isn't because
why isn't he, James? Why isn't
we haven't done our job? We haven't been really good ambassadors.
They told us there's a separation between the church and state, and we got that to mean that the government is above God. And by the way, the government has more rights. Somebody can say amen here. The government has more rights to do ungodly things than the church has to do godly things.
There are two kings.
The government for permission to do what God has called us to do.
There are two kingdoms present on this earth: the kingdom of God and the kingdom of darkness. Colossians kind of gives us the, you know, the how to.
So here it is. We think, Lord, take us out of here. No. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. We're supposed to be ambassadors to bring the kingdom of heaven to earth. It's already within us. The kingdom of heaven is within every believer. Real believer, the kingdom of heaven is already inside of you. Randy, come on in.
Excellent, Coach. Absolutely. And I can prove it, Coach. John 14, Jesus is teaching them what to expect when the Comforter comes. What does he say to them? Verse 16, and I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper, another one just like me, that he may abide with you forever.
Where is this, Randy?
When did the Holy Spirit, when did he come down, Coach?
Where is this, Randy?
Go ahead.
Where is this?
It's in John 14, 16.
Because I want people to see it so they don't think we're lying. Trust but verify here.
14, 16. This isn't a future. This was only a future event. Until the day of Pentecost, which was 50 days after the Passover when Jesus died.
So, Randy, the whole idea of replacement theology, dudes, the Holy Spirit fell after the crucifixion of Christ. There was no Holy Spirit at work within the body of Christ till after Jesus said, I got to go out of here because it's expedient that I go away, because if I go away, I'm going to send a comforter, right? Huh? The Holy Spirit is now King of Kings and Lord of Lords here in this realm.
Okay, Coach.
Hey, it ain't Israel. Sorry. Amen. It ain't Israel.
Amen. Can we read one more verse, Coach, please, and tie this up? Okay, skip the same. Stay on that same one, Jonathan. Same chapter. Skip on down to verse 23.
Okay. Jesus in answer said unto him, if a man loves me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him. And we will come unto him and make our abode with him. By the way, that seems conditional. Go ahead, Randy.
So, Coach, so look, what he's trying to emphasize, and we take that and we read it to us, and it is to us. But in the context, he's talking to them who were going to be there when the Holy Spirit fell. Coach, when we come into the kingdom, at the very moment, the Holy Spirit brings us, shows it to us, and we come into it. We're in the kingdom of God then. We're not waiting on the future.
Randy, it's within us. That's why Jesus said, sorry, boys, I got to go. I got to get out of here. And I'm sending
another.
Holy Spirit didn't show up until the crucifixion of Christ. Resurrection, crucifixion of Christ. Christ said, I got to go back to work. And I'm going to send my emissary. I'm going to send the Holy Spirit. And he that was with you, meaning me, I'm going to go back up there, and he's going to be with you. Going to be in
He was very active in Messiah. I mean, the Holy Spirit. Jesus could do nothing without the Holy Spirit while he was here.
That's right.
He had to have it.
He was. Jesus was the physical embodiment of the Holy Spirit, folks. I hope you can understand that.
Huh? It was the Holy Spirit that led Jesus through the wilderness.
That's right.
To be tempted by Satan. So that, you know, this is the Godhead bodily working in Messiah. And he always talked about it. He was always telling us, hey, look at us. You know, we got a principle here how this kingdom works.
Randy, this is right. So clear. This is so clear. Why don't we know this? Lorianne, come on in. Then Adam. Go ahead, Lorianne. Hey, I know this is shaking some of you. I know this is shaking you. I know it is. Saying your 10 Hail Marys, your 10 Our Fathers. We don't even know how to pray. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. And we don't even, we talk to God about our problem. We don't talk to our problem about God. See, I can go, when I go to an auto mechanic, he's going to tell me what's wrong with the car. Well, God bless you, dude. God bless you. Can you fix it? I don't care if you diagnose it. Can you fix it? Oh, we're great at diagnosing it. Ain't nobody can fix it. Because we're soon going to be out of here. We'll be raptured out of here. We don't have to fix nothing. We leave all that broken stuff behind. Go ahead, Lauren. Hey, you don't have to amen. I'm telling you the truth. You don't have to, you can swallow it or not swallow it. Go ahead. Lauren, I've said it four times. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
It's cool. Cool, coach. No, it's good. I mean, people brush prayer off like it's just kind of like, it's even kind of like, God is good. God is great. Let us thank you for his food. You know, amen. And they make it like,
bless my wife and bless my kids and bless my house and bless my money and help me.
Yep. I call it the Mary had a little lamb prayer, you know, because it's just, why bother? Because if you're not going to, if you're not going to dig into it and like have a conversation and talk to God.
The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous. What if your prayer is not effectual? Mary had a little lamb. Huh? What if your prayer is not
effectual? It's kind of like, why bother? I mean, Jesus said, you know, like, hey, they're white tombs. I mean, you're standing out there doing these prayers. Amen. But like, really, like, what is it? And then the point about like with abortion, I mean, with all these babies being born, those are American citizens, right?
If you're an American, pro-life. You think God's right? Pro-life? Hey, Paul Gosling, you think God's pro-life? I think God's pro-life. Anybody think
pro-life?
God's
pro-life? You just look at the cross, coach.
I mean, how can Christians not be pro-life? How can we sit silently by and allow them to murder children? Come on in, Adam.
Hey, coach, I just put in the chat, the Bible says that we are seated with Christ in the heavenly places. Already. Not we will be. In other words, we are active participants and citizens of God's kingdom now. We don't
because
have to
he's
wait.
Inside you. The Spirit He was with you is in you. See, we can't conquer fear. God's not giving you a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and a sound mind. Now, wait a minute. The idea of fear is good when you're going 90 miles an hour in a car, and your wife says to you, "Honey, slow down." Fear is a good thing. But most of us are motivated by fear of what might happen to us if we open our mouth or we say this, if we do this. And that spirit ain't of God. Go ahead, Paul.
A couple of things, coach. So if you kind of read Screwtape, C.S. Lewis, Augustine, it's, and you know this, we've been doing this for 5 years, coach. You get up in the morning and you meditate, and that's where the Holy Spirit's in, right?
Amen.
This is what you talked about. So just when you talked about the rosary and in front of the abortion clinics and you don't see it anymore, it's because in Maine we're doing it, okay? But the rosary originally began as the 150 Psalms. Did you know that, coach?
I didn't.
And then it developed into 150 Our Fathers, okay, because the laity couldn't read. So it used to be the 150 Psalms said every day in meditation. This
in other
is
words, another Paul, hang on, Paul, praying God's word, praying the Psalms.
Correct. And it developed into the rosary for whatever reason. But it is a point of meditation because we meditate on the mysteries, the joyful mysteries, the sorrowful mysteries. When we do this, this in between each decade. So, I mean, for better or worse, at least it puts us in the mindset of the Holy Spirit.
Amen. I'm with you on that. I'm with you on that. But at the same time, Paul, the effectual fervent prayer, not just any prayer. See, I hear people.
Right. I get it, coach.
Oh, Lord, you know Joey. Oh, you know Joey when he was a little boy, Lord. You know what happened to Joey when he was a little boy, Lord. We're just asking you would bless you. No, dudes. What does God's word say about what's happening to little Joey against those demonic forces? Lord, we come against those demonic forces in the name of Jesus. It's a war, weapon of war. It's a weapon of war. We don't tell God about how miserable everything is. Hell, he knows that. We exert our influence by speaking and praying his word and his will over that situation. And many of you and many of us spend time complaining to God.
Boom.
Rather than taking the sword of the Spirit and going to war. We need to be retaught. Come on in, Mel. You're holding up a sign. Come on in.
I think we need to have a new Equal Justice tour.
I do too.
So this is the front of my sign.
Equal justice for all humans. Abolish abortion.
You know, and we should all be able to agree on that.
Mel, they're going to throw you out of churches. They don't all agree with it. Mel, look, we don't get political here. That's political, Mel. And hey, by the way, Mel, we can't talk about that because there might be women sitting in here who've had abortions. And we don't make them feel bad like they don't feel bad already.
Well, and right? You know what the crazy thing is that, you know, the enemy is so clever. And we fall right into it. Now there's, I mean, if you take the position of we want to abolish abortion, you know, you're at odds, I guess, with the right to life crowd. Now, how crazy is that? I mean, how clever is the enemy that they've been able to divide even the pro-life people? Like, if you take the firm position of, you know, I want to abolish abortion, like all of a sudden, you know, oh, well, that's too strong of a position. We need to be able to, you know, be with the group that just takes these little half steps. Like, I don't know, what does the Bible say? I think the Bible would agree with, let's not kill unborn babies.
Do you think Jesus Christ is for the killing of unborn children? He said, oh, bring these little ones to me, for such is the kingdom. He did say that, you know, right? Huh? Bring these little ones to me, for such is the kingdom of God. And we're murdering them. We're silent on abortion in your church. Your pastor never talks about it. Are you kidding me? Thanks, Mel. Great picture.
But one more thing. It is the greatest human rights issue. Like, if you want to to talk about human rights, like this is the one. This is the number one killer in America and around the world.
Yes. And greater love is no man than the. Hey, Mel, can you think of any mommy who wouldn't lay down her life for a child? Huh? I mean, come on. Huh? Dogs do that. Pigs do that. Protect their babies. Only human beings kill them. By the way, with the approval of the church, because. Who are you? Am I to judge? We believe in individual choice here. Randy, you got 4 minutes. Come on, Randy.
So, real quick, Coach. This is really good. This is one of their top sermons, Coach. You're preaching it. But look, Coach, prayer, and you said this, I'm just going to say it another way. Prayer, Jesus taught us to pray. Why? He was teaching us how to pray in context, how to do it correctly. And what does it do? It brings the will of God from heaven to earth.
Amen.
If you notice Jesus pray, how he prayed every time, he would never say, oh, Lord, would you come down and fix this and take care of it?
Oh,
no,
so good,
he
prayed.
He said, oh, Lord, your will be done and I will do it. He passed that on to us, Coach. That's how we should pray. Father, I'm here. I'm your agent. I'm the Holy Spirit's ambassador. Do it through me. I will transfer that.
Amen.
That's what prayer is, Coach.
John Brockoff spent, I think, 2,740 some days in federal lockup for burning down an abortion clinic. And he said, someday I'm going to stand before the Lord, and the Lord's going to say, what did you do when they were murdering babies? He's going to say, I burnt down the damn clinic. And, of course, most of the church criticizes John. He shouldn't have done that. There might be people in there. Well, we know there are dead people in there. Dead little babies, they're in there. We don't care about it. Church doesn't care about that. That's mixing politics and religion. See, thy kingdom come, the authority of Christ come in me. I'm an ambassador. I'm going to go and stand and speak and act against the forces of darkness because I'm his ambassador. And he put his spirit, he says, I got to get out of here, Jesus said. It's expedient for me to go away because I'm going to go away and then I'm going to be in you. Then the Holy Spirit's going to be in you. And I'm going to tell you this. In you is that conscience that tells you yes and no. And you'll either listen to it or you won't listen to it. And we're in the mess that we're in because we have stopped obeying that small, still voice.
Boom.
See you tomorrow.